This is the People's Game. I'm Alan Minsky, and I'm joined right now by Paul Mason. He is the economics editor for BBC Newsnight and has a marvelous blog called Idle Scrawl. Paul Mason is in London, England. He is obviously a partisan of the English national team. Paul, what do you make of the performance today? What do you make of the performance in the tournament?
Well, very poor in both respects. I think today, I mean, obviously they had this setback of the goal that was disallowed, the Lampard goal. It was clearly a goal. And in any other situation, you might expect that to have been a deciding influence. But I don't think it was in the end. I think England reverted to type. I think they played in the same poor way that they played throughout the tournament. And that is simply, it's a lack of teamwork. Now, I think, again, why is the lack of teamwork happening? It's just that the players seem to have been just in revolt throughout the entire tournament against Capello's desire to impose on them some kind of system.
Now, I thought what this team really missed was a Paul Scholes. Really, really missed aggressiveness in midfield.
They missed not only a Scholes. I mean, I'll tell you what they really missed. They missed a Gascoigne. If you ever remember Paul Gascoigne playing, they missed a midfield playmaker. Now, the thing is you can have aggressiveness in midfield and you can chop people down. Actually, did you see the number of the yellow cards? Minimal in the entire game. What that tells me, actually, it's an interesting little statistic, that the England team were backing off all the time, as you could see from the TV coverage of it. I mean, England games, you know, games in England do not finish with one yellow card. Big
right.
games. There was just something really wrong with about them, and I think you could say the midfield was poor. But above all, today for the England team was the defence didn't work. John Terry out of position all the time. Upson, the new guy, not really functioning. Glenn Johnson not fast. Ashley Cole, the one world class defender, just occasionally fired on all three cylinders or whatever, but never quite got there. So that defence wasn't working. I mean, the goalie was brilliant, I thought, but the defence were poor. And football teams, as you know, work like a pyramid. It works from the bottom up. And with the defences no good, there's not really much you can do in midfield.
Well, you're a Man U supporter.
Mm-hmm.
You know Wayne Rooney's performances intricately. He did seem very flat. I mean, while it's true what you say about the defence, he seemed not to have brought his A game to South Africa.
No, I mean, the thing about Wayne is that he tries like a maniac. He tries a lot over and above the call of duty. Now, there is a theory going around in the British sporting press that I have come around to, actually, and that is that he's been affected by altitude training. Because at the end of every match, Wayne Rooney looks white. He looks drained of energy. And he's off the pace. Now, it's hard to spot that because the whole team is off the pace. But I think he's not been served by the formation. As football aficionados listening to your program will know, Wayne Rooney plays in a 4-4-1-1 situation. That is, there is another striker dropping back off him, and he's up there on his own with the Man U situation. And sometimes those strikers and sometimes the midfielders running onto him. I mean, in the last two or three years, it has been the people like Cristiano Ronaldo, like Tevez, it's Ryan Giggs. I mean, he is served by an amazing array of international talent.
Right, Nani, Valencia, right.
Absolutely. And the problem is, I mean, maybe in England we're just finding out that without that bought-in international talent, our really good players are only average.
Right.
That could be the theory.
Well, Lampard and Gerrard did look just especially flat. Obviously, Lampard had, you know, the dramatic moments in the game, and very much involved Frank Lampard today. But, you know, it's 2-1 around the 60th minute. Lampard lines up for a free kick. Everybody knows what he's going to do. He's going to smash it as hard as he can. What the hell is all of the defense doing forward?
Well, I can only believe, because they got caught twice on the break by the Germans, I can only believe that either Capello had told them to sacrifice everything and go forward, or that they had decided it themselves. That it's not an accident when stuff like that happens. So the entire defense is out of position. And you think about if you put it into baseball or NFL terms,
right,
it would be unbelievable. that an entire sub-team, so four guys, are out of position. So I think somebody has decided to do it. The problem here is that you actually don't need that in soccer. You just don't need to do that. So I think it was a collective failure. And in each case, they get hit on the break. In each case, it's over the moment the ball comes out of the opposition 18-yard box. It's actually over. You can see, if you replay those moves, it's not like anybody could have done anything about it. But so those two goals are unforgivable, and the post-mortem, I think, must involve who told them to push so hard that the defence stopped being the defence.
Do you think Fabio Capello remains the manager of England?
Well, look, the default position here in England is to criticise Capello. I don't take that view, because I think Capello was right to try and make them play with the system. Because if you're going to win a tournament, you have to perfect a system and then change it. England never got to the point of perfecting the system. So he couldn't then change it and improve it and make it go 4-4-1-1 or 4-3-3. He could never do it, because the players never got it. I think we will probably find, as these individual accounts come out in the press, that there was some kind of ongoing revolt against the rigidity and draconian nature of Capello's regime. But I think England need that regime, and they are going to have to, you know, basically buckle under and accept it from somebody, even if they don't accept it from him. There are a collection of talented and mediocre individuals who are performing collectively below their par. Now, in business, which is my specialism, we know what to do about that.
Mm-hmm.
You do replace the management. You have to, because you also have to get some better individuals. And if your system doesn't produce it, you look at the system. I think we have to do all three of those things. He hasn't worked, and the problem is here. I mean, I don't know how many American viewers have seen this. He also can't communicate to the English people under stress, so it's not an irrelevant issue for our 62 million people watching this on the TV today that he can't actually string three words of English together to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
And given that, you know, the guys themselves are just young guys, and they're not going to speak out of turn. They're not going to come up with their own theory within 20 minutes of coming off the field. He saw it. And you do, as a manager, you do have this duty to communicate to the client. The client is the English people, and they didn't like the product.
You look at the team, and I think that four of the outstanding English players now come of age and past the age where they'll be in the national team. So John Terry, Frank Lampard, Steven Gerrard, and Rio Ferdinand, who missed the tournament, their international careers are, they certainly won't go past the Euro tournament, I imagine.
No.
So a new generation has to come up. What do you see in terms of a new generation coming
up? Well, our under-17 team is good. We have a problem in Britain that we have a very vibrant and very... Well, look, it's very rooted in society, our soccer culture. It isn't soccer moms, it's soccer dads.
Mm-hmm.
And those soccer dads can be from the roughest, toughest neighborhoods. Now, what that means is that on the football field, for us, we got 9-year-olds who are being judged by their ability to shoulder other 9-year-olds off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we all know there's something deeply wrong here. We need to rebuild our game so that, to be honest, it's more middle class at the lower level. So that clever guys who might want to get a scholarship at university, you know, we don't have that system here. No footballer goes to university.
Mm-hmm.
But clever guys might want to stay in the sport until they're 22. We have to do that. Until we do that, it'll always be luck. And we lucked out with somebody like Rooney. Rooney, Ferdinand, who sadly couldn't play in the tournament. We got one or two decent players, but I think it's not the problem. I would rather go on the field with the Algerian team. You know, everybody on it is unheard of. They all have a spirit. They gnash their teeth. They've trained to the point where their bodies couldn't be lighter. It's not true of the England team, of course. And they all want something. Now, they still lose, but they lose in a way that makes you feel like they... Not that everybody tries on the football field, but that the system was geared to allow their effort to have results. And our system seems to have been geared to allow our players' effort to work against them. And this is, I mean, we're all going to have to sit down in the UK, in England, and work out what's going on. But I do think it is our youth game. It's the preponderance of our club game. I mean, we're the only country in the world where every national player plays for a club in England. That's the amazing thing. One of those clubs, they're clubs primarily staffed by foreign players. So it's almost like if you're looking for the big obvious thing, that's the big obvious thing. We have sold our league to money, and it doesn't help us produce a great national team. What it helps us is produce maybe 10, 15 really excellent world club teams.
It's funny because I do look at the side that could be pieced together right now, and I actually see a hole right around the four players that I mentioned, because you have Johnson. I think Ashley Cole probably is still around as of next World Cup. You have Walcott. You have Johnson from Man City, Aaron Lennon. Defoe, I think, will still be around. Carlton Cole. Obviously, Rooney's up front.
Yep.
And besides Upson, I don't see anybody who fits into central midfield or the central defense.
Well, Matthew Dawson was the third understudy.
Right.
We had a whole bunch of understudies in central defense.
Right. But nobody in the Paul Scholes, Frank Lampard, or Steven Gerrard mold, either of those molds.
Look, the thing is you can. I just believe if you see some of these so-called second-rate teams who have trained and drilled, that it's not about individual prowess.
Right.
It's actually about team work. And the weird thing is in British sport, we have some amazing... We have a sport, rugby union, similar to NFL, where the disciplines are similar to NFL. As they say, the top 2 inches of the body are the most important. It's all about brain work and therefore teamwork. And we just don't seem to have understood this in football, in soccer. We've understood it everywhere else. I don't... You know, obviously, it's nice to have Rooney. It's nice to have Ashley Cole. I mean, we had some decent goalkeepers. You know, James, in the end, was a decent goalkeeper. I think Glenn Johnson will come good as a defender.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe Cole has 2 more years left in him as an attacking wide player. But we just need a system. That's what we don't have.
To shift gears for a while, obviously the English national team will evolve as it evolves. And right after this tournament, within a few months, starts qualification for the Euros, so they'll get right back to it. FIFA, obviously today in both matches, huge controversies. And I'm just wondering, just curious as the, you know, obviously somebody who follows large global institutions with great power, what kind of insight you can provide into FIFA, if any.
The closer you go to FIFA, the more weird the story gets.
That's my sense.
That's the only thing you can say about it. I don't have an inside line to FIFA, but it is, you know, I mean, look, you know, it's not the only sporting body that does strange things.
Right.
We all know the story about how amazingly, you know, Taekwondo became an Olympic sport when karate didn't. And I'm an ex-Taekwondo guy, and I kind of have a feeling about how that happened. And it's the same with all these. The problem is, look, they're not actually subject to democratic scrutiny. The sports journalists don't go up to them, actually ask them the kind of questions that political journalists ask politicians. They're not open to scrutiny. The systems aren't open to scrutiny. It's all very, very strange, and that's the best you can say about it.
Right, right. It's what can you say? Also, they're throwing the most successful event in the world, right? If this goes on through the quarterfinals and semis, hopefully they'll respond to the outcries.
Well, the technology issue is there. It's been on the table for years. Actually, so has the limitation of club squads to a limited number of foreign players. That's there. It's there in Germany. So has the rest period in the winter. The Germans have the rest period. Now the thing is that what you would have to do to make any of this work is that this amazingly powerful sport, this multi-billion sport, would actually have to be regulated. It's a bit like banking, really. You know, to make it work better for the people who are the ultimate clients, which is us, the Joe Blow on the watching it on the television, somebody would have to say certain things aren't possible. But with international football, it's almost nothing is not possible. The only thing that seems to be impossible are relatively sensible decisions, the kind of decisions that an ordinary sort of town meeting might come to. These are not possible.
You know, it is funny because the goal taken away from Lampard would really call for technology. The Tevez decision in the Mexico game, you can see the argument you don't want to have everything go to technology and offsides. But boy, was that one. That was so glaring.
There were both glaring errors. The difference being, I think, that you can see where, look, the psychology, football's a human game. So the psychology of playing in a certain way to get certain decisions is well known. I think, really, the flair that Argentina showed to get into position of that goal had in the back of the mind of that touch judge, the line judge, really, this is a goal.
Mm, yeah.
But I think whatever happened with the ref and the line judge in the Lampard,
the Carlos Tevez is a big object to miss.
Yeah, with the naked eye. But look, actually, as well, when you watch it without the benefit of stop motion, there is a way of seeing it where, albeit a wrong way, but there's a way of seeing it where he looks onside. It's to do with the angle you look at it from, and the moment you blink as the ref. I think at the end of the day, I'm in favour of. There's a debate started here about how would you do the technology. The default position is people would allow appeals, like you do in tennis. You get three line calls, and you're allowed to dispute three times. I wouldn't. I'd do it. I'd just basically have a fifth ref. I'd have a real-time monitoring of the video, and I'd have an intercom system where somebody says, blow the whistle.
Right. I think that sounds wise, actually, as long as it's real-time.
You've got the yellow flag thing in NFL, that little yellow thing that goes in, you know, that kind of dart, whatever it is. Three guys start throwing these darts. Everybody knows to stop. That's the key thing. You can always restart. Everybody says, oh, well, it would make football less flowing. Well, you know, it's not that flowing now, to be honest. So many people play for stoppages, whether it's, you know, touch or the diving. You stick it into touch, you dive. This is a way of stopping the action in football, and the referee stopping it would not, to me, spoil the spectacle.
Two final questions and sort of the obvious questions. One is the national mood in England. Follow-up question, any fun tabloid headlines that you've caught a glimpse of?
The tabloids aren't out yet. I haven't seen the tabloids. Mm. They'll be fun. I think this time, you know, we've had two dysfunctional management and player systems, 06 and 2010. Sven let the players keep control. There was total player power. This time, I read the end of this campaign as being player power running up against a decent manager who didn't want to let it happen. Causes mayhem. So our fundamental problem is going to be player power. Now, the tabloid headlines, of course, a lot of these players write little ghost columns for these tabloid newspapers, and let's see how hard the tabloids are on their friends, the players, tomorrow morning. My hunch is they'll be just hard on the England setup and the coach. The mood is very defeated and defeatist. I mean, you saw how we played in the first three games. Mm-hmm. Nobody's surprised.
Mm-hmm.
If we played fantastically well and this was a sudden aberration, that would be different. But a lot of the people, I've blogged on this tonight, bbc.co.uk/Paul Mason, and a lot of the responses to that and on Twitter are saying, you know, right on, you are right. It's the structure of the game. It's the fact that the club game is oversold, it's over-leveraged. We have borrowed money, and we have bought players, but it hasn't solved our problems as a national game. And in that respect, you know, I do think England's performance tonight was almost like the Lehman Brothers of football. You borrowed, and what it turned out that the borrowing masked a kind of underperformance.
Well, Paul Mason, I want to thank you for joining us on The People's Game. Paul Mason's the economics editor.
Commiserations to the USA, though.
Oh,
they played very courageously.
A lot of heart. Actually, the inverse, perhaps, of England. They maybe don't have the talent at certain places, but they really had a ton of heart.
Yeah, but look at Ghana. Ghana had the heart, and they had the coaching. I think that's what's going to win it. They're not going to win it, but the people who are going to win it this time are people with flair and coaching. That's why we in England are so crazy if we try and throw the coaching part of it out the window.
Well, we did.
Blair doesn't do it on its own. Even if you got it, even if they turn it on.
Well, Germany-Argentina should be quite a match.
Woo-hoo. Yep.
Thank you so much, Paul Mason. And again, the blog is Idle Scrawl. Check it out, and thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye.